Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today is February 17th. It's a Friday, and this episode is brought to you by my fantastic sponsor, El Cajon Harley Davidson. You need a motorcycle, head to El Cajon Harley. Don't go anywhere else. Fly into San Diego. They'll pick you up at the airport, buy your motorcycle, and ride it home. That's the best adventure you'll ever do. You'll be talking about it all your life, the time I rode across America. Or maybe you just live in San Diego, or you live in Portland, or San Francisco, or LA, wherever you live. Get your motorcycle at El Cajon Harley Davidson. Come on! All right, El Cajon Harley. Follow them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Hit up my boy Greg Riley. Tell him, hey, I want to get a new motorcycle. Or maybe you just want to get your bike serviced. Or you need a helmet or some boots or gloves, any kind of riding gear. They got it all there. This dealer is fully loaded with all the best stuff. They got a floor full of the brand new Milwaukee 8s. Also, they got that brand new Road King special in there. Go check that thing out. All blacked out and mean looking. Check it. I ride the Road King, the best bike, and El Cajon Harley did it up. It looks fantastic and rides amazing. El Cajon Harley. All right, guys, here it is. It's Friday, and a solo bitching episode, another one, kind of getting into doing them. It's fun, and I can just shoot off some shit here. Still coming out of the storm of the sickness, man. Wow. Can't believe it. I can talk because I've been pounding DayQuil. DayQuil Severe. I love how the packaging, how I fucked up. I was only taking one. I was just dumb, didn't read the directions. How fucking hilarious is that? I got this. I was only taking one, and I'm like, this shit don't work. It's called Severe. Fucking wasn't doing shit for me. I was just death. And then I read, you got to take two. So I've just been pounding these all loony in my bed, going through fucking sweats and fucking, oh man, cold, then hot, then, you know, can't talk. Chest is all fuck. I'm telling you, man, this is a brutal flu. Last time I had a flu like this, I watched three seasons of Breaking Bad. Hilarious. That's how long ago it was when I was sick. It was the season three of Breaking Bad. I got the flu and I was like, all right, let's watch this fucking bullshit everybody's been hyping me on. And then I just fell in love with it and was mad I didn't start. I actually wasn't mad I didn't start at the beginning. It was kind of better. I could binge watch all like 45 episodes or whatever it was with this full-blown flu. That was pretty hilarious. Just how dark is that? You're all sick watching Breaking Bad. It's amazing now when you're sick. You kids don't know. You don't know what it was like to be sick in the old days when you had to watch Days of Our Lives. You only had four fucking channels. You don't know. All My Children, all this bullshit. There was fucking nothing on. Oh my God, you wanted to get better. You're like, I got to get the fuck out of here. This TV's horrible. Now, you're like, I don't care when I get better. I'll watch like 800 episodes of whatever. You know, there's so many shows. Here's what's funny. I'm sick and I'm like, well, I guess I'll finally start something everybody's been talking about. And it took me 2 days to figure out what I wanted to start. It was so funny. It was like, everybody's like, oh, you haven't seen Stranger Things yet? Oh, you haven't seen, what's that one? The Future People one? Future World or whatever? I don't even know what they're called. People just talk about them over and over. It's so funny, man. So much shit to watch. So I landed on Soundbreaking, which I watched one about 2 months ago and loved it. Soundbreaking's this, it's like a music documentary, eight parts on PBS, pretty much about the recording of music and producers and stuff. And it's done fucking pretty good. The first one, producers, episode one, it's got like Sly Stone, Phil Spector, George Martin. You're watching these guys and you just go like, these fucking guys are genius. You know, George Martin, now that I'm all beetled up, you know, I'm like, George Martin, I mean, there he is. He's like wearing a suit in the studio. He looks like a history teacher, you know, and he's just coming up with the most insane ideas of recording, man. Just awesome. And you just learn so much, you know, Les Paul inventing the multi-track recording and how Phil Spector recorded everything, that big, big sound. And I was watching, I was thinking, wow, Tina Turner, so underrated. This woman's been in the biz all her life. I saw Tina Turner back on that, "You Better Be Good to Me," that era me and my mom went. She just fucking crushed. And I was watching her on this producer's one. They were talking to her about early stuff she did with, like, it's just awesome. God, Tina Turner. But everyone on these things, as I'm watching them, they get into, of course, like, you know, stuff with like Pink Floyd and all the psychedelic stuff, Hendrix. And then you get into the 70s with like Tom Scholz in Boston. And, you know, the guy recorded that record in his house. All geniuses, all of them, over and over. I'm watching it and I'm like, you know, it's amazing how many musical geniuses and people in the biz were walking around back in the 60s and 70s. Just insane, man. Like, if you were in the business, you were probably pretty fucking good at something. That's what I kept thinking as I was watching. It was so amazing, man. Anyway, it's called Soundbreaking. You can find it on YouTube. I found it on YouTube. Watched them all. Actually, I'm on episode 6 now. I was watching one of them. And, you know, YouTube, they sometimes people put stuff on there, gangster, so it doesn't get caught. So this guy put one on and sped it up. So everybody sounded like Minnie Mouse. Just... and it was the disco one. I was dying to watch it. And I was like, I can't watch this. It's fucking, it's all sped up and terrible. But anyway, my only complaint was they covered keyboards and didn't have Kraftwerk on. It was insane. Like, what are you doing? But they did have some cool early Devo on, which is badass. Check it out. Soundbreaking. Anyway, still sick. Still fucking sick. I can't believe how strong this flu is. It's brutal. And I think back to, like, just imagine, like, caveman days. Like, if you got sick, you were just fucking done. That's how life was. It was just a lottery. You just lived until you got some fucking plague or flu or something. You were just done. You just rolled over to the cave and fucking, you know, I got ran over on my motorcycle and I felt better then than I did, you know, all week. The pain that the flu hits, man, with these creaky body, like just sore bones. And then you're just, oh man, you can't breathe. It's brutal. It's brutal, man. And then it's pouring rain here today too. Perfect sick weather. Just sleep. Look out the window and go, oh yeah, I ain't going nowhere. Which I wouldn't be going anywhere anyway. Except for to do shows. I've been doing shows. I just go do shows and I go straight home. I pound some Dayquil. Get all fucking methed up. All right, you ready? Yeah. Fucking Dayquil, man. That shit's got some fuck. I think it's got a little bumpy road in there, a little toot, a little snow, a little Krell, whatever you call your up here. It gets you cooking, man. I'm so out of it. This is the out of it Dayquil episode. What else is going on? Everybody was talking about Metallica on the Grammys. And it's amazing how many people shit on the Grammys, but then watch it. I don't get that at all. you know, people are like, did you watch that bullshit? No, I didn't. I never watch any fucking stuff. The only award show I watch is Academy Awards. It's the only one that's still semi-legit, you know, because I always want to see what films win. Like this year, I hope Moonlight wins everything. Then you got the La La Land team. Everybody's like got teams. Hilarious. But Grammys, you know, it's just like, it's just 3 hours of just a waste of time. There's nothing on there. You know, they give away like 20 awards at like noon that you don't even see, like Best Metal Album, which by the way, they give to Megadeth. And then this has got to be the ultimate fuck you to Dave Mustaine. As they're going up to get the award, the house band plays Master of Puppets. What the fuck? I mean, we'll get into what happened to Metallica in a minute, but there's no bigger fuck you to Dave Mustaine than to roll some Master of Puppets as you're going up to get your award. So you're all happy, like, finally, I'm getting this Grammy, man, after like 15 or 18 times. Finally, I'm getting recognized. And you go up and it's like, Master of Puppets is pulling the strings. Oh, man. Imagine that. That'd be insane. Oh, God, those guys fucking, I feel bad for them. Anyway, there's a lot of the great awards are given during the day. And then, you know, it's just a commercial for records now. It's all the Grammys is. I like when an award show is super stuffy and people think they matter. I like that kind of award show. You know what I mean? Like, we're in here. We're the elite. At least it's something loony to watch. But when it's just a giant MTV-style video, that's why those MTV awards back in the day always killed, because they were just so radical. They would just have great bands and good performances and stuff. And people got, you know, they got loaded and shit. But so yeah, we get to the Metallica. The mic was out. And my main complaint on that was why, and you guys all know I worship Metallica. And a lot of people always hit me, oh, yeah, you just fucking always on their tit, man, like they could do no wrong. But this time, I really felt that Q Prime, their management, who has been fantastic with them their entire career, I feel like they just did them wrong. And I could see what's going on there. They had that fucking that stadium tour they were about to drop on Monday. So Q Prime's probably like, oh yeah, you got to do the Grammys. And there'll be this big buzz on you. And then Monday we'll announce the stadium shows. And it'll be fucking epic. You know? Oh, and while you're doing it, do this fucking karaoke in the car thing too. And, you know, look at, you know, Metallica is already everywhere, booming right now in the metal world, in the underground metal world. People are like, holy shit, this record's great. They're back. We love them. They've embraced it even, you know, more than ever, because they've been around forever and they put out a great record. And Metallica was just everywhere. You didn't need to do the Grammys. I think it was one fucking step too much. Even if it went great and that microphone was plugged in, it would still be like, you gamble that, like, ugh, all right, we get it, you're back. Fuck. You gotta have some mystique. You gotta have ups and downs. And Q Prime knows that, you know, but it was weird. It's like it was a rare mistake, man. They should have said, nah, let's don't do the Grammys. We are booming right now. Let's fucking, you know, let's keep going. What's going on here? It's rocking. You know, but you throw Gaga in with these dumbass fucking people dancing on stage. That was fucking hokey, man. And, you know, I was bummed that the band didn't go, no, we're not doing that. No, we've fucking been around 35 years. We're not having fucking fake stage divers and rockers on the stage. Yeah, the song was fucking amazing that they got to do that song on TV. But you think anyone watching that was going to be like, I've never heard of this band. I think I better run out and get this, man. You know, you don't need all the money. You don't need all the money, you know? It's just a rare bad move. And of course, I love the band. I was just pretty bummed on that, though. Not on them, more on their management. Because somebody presented that to them. They should have just, when they got the call, they should have just went, nah, sorry. We're over in Europe right now, Denmark. James kind of sick a couple days. We're going to pass on that. Or whatever. Anyway, that's just my thought. What do I fucking know? I'm in an apartment in the valley doing open mics. I don't know shit, but I do know that that's a fantastic band and they don't need to do stunts. Anyway, that's my thought on it. Let's get into some other shit. Speaking of a guy who does not do stunts, I gotta talk about this because it's unbelievable what's going on here. Of course, you guys know my man Omar Rodriguez Lopez from At the Drive-In, Mars Volta. I mean, 4 million projects. And lately, it seems like I haven't seen a guy like this. I don't even know if I've ever seen a guy like this ever. The amount of music and quality music and different styles of music this guy has been putting out in the last, you know, let's just say this last year, how many different projects? Anti-Mass, Drive-In, Zen Thrills, the new one, Crystal Fairy. I mean, it's over and over and over. This guy is my new fucking inspiration, man. Anytime I think I'm going to get a little lazy, he puts something out and I'm like, nope, I got to keep working. This guy is always working. I mean, have you heard the Zen Thrills record? If you haven't, get it. It's on iTunes right now. It sounds nothing like any other thing he's done. And it's awesome. If you're into kind of 80s, I don't know what I would call it. Maybe a little bit of Missing Persons meets some punk rock. And of course, Terry Genderbender just killing it with him on these projects like Crystal Fairy. You know, Crystal Fairy, by the way, has Buzz Osborne from the Melvins. This thing is full rock. Then they got the Drive-In new song that came out a month ago. It's just over and over new great stuff from this guy. And I got to say, man, I worship this guy. I cannot believe how hard this guy works. 41 years old, just busting ass. I mean, it is amazing what this guy has done. I can't believe it. Get with all his projects. I'm just looking at it right now. It's insane, you know? De Facto, Anti-Mask, his solo records, La Butcherette's, Drive-In, the Mars Volta, Crystal Fairy, on and on and on. Hats off to this dude, man. Support him. Get into all his projects. He is the perfect example of my music taste. It'll go from like punk to metal to synth rock to experimental. Everything he does, I'm like, oh, I'm into this. Awesome, man. So, Omar, I love you, brother. And how cool is that? How cool is that? Check the new Crystal Ferry. You can hear it on the internet today on RollingStone.com, I think. Was it them? I can't remember. Somebody had it on today. And let me check real quick here for you. It might have been RollingStone.com. But I tweeted it. It's in my feed. Let me look real quick. It'll only take 1 second. Relax. Here it is right here. It was on RollingStone.com. Yeah, Crystal Ferry. God, it's good, man. Fucking smoking. At the end of this episode, I got a little Zen thrill, so stick around and check it out. What else going on? I was at Inspirations. I talked about it. Inspirations went with Kevin Christie. We go every year. That was the Denim Show. And, of course, this year was fantastic again. You know, like the Inspirations, I just love it. If you're into denim and leather and cool people, this is a must-go-to show. And it's funny, like, how much I talk about it, but only maybe saw about 30 people I know out of the thousands there. But this show is just electric, man. I picked up a nice jacket from the Real McCoys, and it is just, it's my new favorite jacket. Horsehide Buco J100. It's got some stars on it. The thing is fucking rock and roll. I just throw it on. 51 years old, walking around rocking and talking. Anyway, Inspirations was great. Let's see, some of the highlights there. Good Art had a crushing keychain. I loved it. I scored an amazing new old stock Grateful Dead shirt from the Dead Set recordings at the Warfield in 1980. Unworn shirt, just found it in the pile. Couldn't believe it. I put it in my Instagram feed. Check it out. There it was, just sitting there. It was so funny. My heart was pounding. I'm like, this can't be real. And I just grabbed it and paid the guy and ran. What a great shirt. It seemed like the theme this year was, they always kind of seem like a vibe, but this year was like, it was a lot of rock and roll t-shirts. And, which is cool, but I mean, once I found Made Worn, I was like, I don't really need rock shirts anymore because they always, they're always crazy money. These guys, they had like, you know, they had like, let's say a Misfits shirt. I go, hey, how much for that from, you know, the 80s? The guy's like, $800. Fuck. $800 Misfits shirt. I got a Metallica, by the way, a Metallica Pusshead. Pretty decent fucking shirt at H&M last week for $12. And it's one from the Master of Puppets tour. And it's not all thick and goofy, which I shouldn't clown on because some people like their shirts. Like Kevin Christie loves the thick 80s Hanes shirts. I don't like the, or 90s, I would say. That's 90s. I don't like those. Too thick. I'm always hot and sweating. So I like a paper thin shirt, like those vintage ones. And H&M got a great fucking shirt there. They had like Metallica, they had Motorhead and Slayer, and they were original designs. The Metallica one's a Pusshead shirt. It's great. It's so funny to think how you can just get a shirt at H&M now. So easy. Back in the day when I'd get shirts, you had to go to the show. If you didn't go to the show, there was nowhere to buy a fucking rock shirt. There was no store. You didn't go to Mervyn's and they had like, you know, Slayer shirts. Mervyn's. You guys remember Mervyn's? Man, that was the shit. I think I talked about it before. Mervyn's, Miller's Outpost, and Macy's. Macy's was the high tit. That was the high blue collar. Like, yeah, we go to Macy's. You know, and then if you're clowning someone, you know, you'd be like, shit, you shop at Kmart, which I guess now would be Target. But Target's got rock shirts. I was in Target, and they had some amazing rock shirts. Picked up a couple. I was like, these are fun. So there's all, you know, there's all different levels of rock shirts. And so, you know, if Made Worn's too much money for you, hit up H&M, man. Check it out. Let's see, a couple more things here. I've got some shows coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be in Denver. One show only at the Sioux Teatro Theater. Hit the website, famcomedy.com. Punch in the code CANDLESLIT and get a good, nice, special Delraiser Price ticket. Denver tomorrow, February 18th. Ice House, February 24th. Irvine Improv, I'm headlining March 9th. Roxy Theater in Hollywood, going to be singing a little rock and roll and doing comedy. Bill Burr and I at the Roxy. That's going to be the goddamn comedy jam. And then the 18th, I'll be singing another song doing Baked at the Hollywood Improv. March 20th through the 23rd, San Jose Improv with Burr. April 13th through the 15th, Easter weekend, headlining Ontario Improv. So yeah, some shows are happening. Please come out and show up, man. Let's pack these houses. I want to keep working. The only way you can keep working is putting butts in the seats. And that's why I do this damn podcast, hopefully to reach you guys wherever the hell you're at and put some butts in the seats. Let's see. What else did I get? One other thing. Oh, I got a pretty cool email. I wanted to read this. And which, by the way, thanks for the donations that keep coming in. Thank you. Let's see here. Is this one? Let me find it. Here it is, a cool email. Somebody was asking me how the Black Crowes vinyl reissues are. And I think, what is it? Tim Blackledge. Thanks for emailing in, buddy. Yeah, man. The Black Crowes reissues are fantastic. So if you're wondering about that, don't get the older ones. If you're on eBay and you see like a Southern Harmony from like 5 years ago or 3 years ago, do not get that. Get the newer ones from 2016. The old ones are absolute garbage. What else? Hit me up. Analog Spark. Very cool company that I got that Blind Melon Super issue from. And they're sending me over some Sam Cooke. Thank you, Analog Spark. These guys are next level. And I tell you, if I do a comedy record, I'd like to have them put it out because the quality is unbelievable. And a few other things. Oh, I switched to Verizon. You guys see that? This isn't an ad or anything. But I was on T-Mobile for years. It was like $70 a month, which is fine and everything. But before I was on T-Mobile, I was on Verizon. And I left Verizon to go to T-Mobile because they're cheaper. And it was fine. And then once I got out on the road, touring around, I realized, this doesn't work some places. And, of course, T-Mobile has gotten better and better and better. But I always said if Verizon came back with unlimited and it was under $100, I would fucking run to them. And I did on Monday. And so far, so fucking good. Cell phones is so funny. They don't give a fuck about us, whatever company you're with. And we all talk about them like they're our teams. Like, oh yeah, how many bars you got? Like bars don't mean shit. You could have four bars and not be able to make a call. That's all mystery shit. But what I do know is when I'm out on that motorcycle somewhere in no man's land, I need some fucking signal if something goes down. If I'm in a car, whatever. But if I'm on that motorcycle and I get a flat or something, and I don't have signal, oh man, it's the Revenant. It's going to be the Revenant out there. I'm going to be fucking eating animals all alone in no man's land. Anyway, so far so good. If you are wondering about the differences, it seemed to be, it was about $12 more all said and done. Actually, it was really only $1.54 more. But I don't know what plan you were on before. For me, it was $1.54 more and kind of a no-brainer. I love you guys for tuning in. Monday, going to be another episode. Keep leaving the reviews and subscribing. on iTunes. That's how we get the podcast in the top 100. If you subscribe and leave reviews, that's the only way. I don't know how this works. You could get a zillion downloads and still not be in the top 100. It's all about downloads, reviews, and subscribers, alpha rhythms, all that jive, all that mystery, all that stuff they don't want you to know, like credit scores. Well, how the fuck does that work? You know, well, you know, it'd be complicated to tell you. Anyway, I love you guys, and I hope to see you at some shows. See you tomorrow, Denver. And if you are listening today and you live in LA, tonight, Brody Stevens and I and Bill Burr at the store, 7 p.m. in the main room. That's going to be pretty electric. Thanks for tuning in. Keep the candles lit.